Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by Hannibal Taboo from Comic Book Resources as we review Transformers, Lost Light, Issue 21. Transformers, Robots in Disguise, Combiner Force gets an Australian release, and Transformers Cyberverse is set to air on Cartoon Network. Today is Friday, August 3rd, 2018, and this is episode 88 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that just can't deal with another shocking twist. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Heyo, let's talk Transformers.
All right, and again, we are welcoming back Hannibal Taboo from Comic Book Resources, author of the Bipile column.
Insert catchphrase here.
Thank you again for joining us. You did a great job on our Transmissions Toy Show. But I know comics, and in particular, More Than Meets the Eye and Lost Light are your current favorites for Transformers. So I hope you're going to get excited for this show.
Yes, sir. I mean, after all the feedback and the long time it's been since I was on the show, I had to come back, and I'm very excited to be here.
All right. So before we get into talking about comics and media and all that good stuff, we have a tradition here for new guests that we have on the show. We give them a set of rapid fire questions. So these are questions that are kind of just to gauge your thoughts and feelings on different topics, mostly Transformers related, but other stuff too. So I'm gonna throw it over to Jeremy, and he's going to administer the test.
Ooh, like a proctor.
Yeah, it will not be painful the first time.
Is he putting on a rubber glove? Wait a minute.
All right, Autobot or Decepticon?
Decepticon.
And who is your favorite Decepticon?
My favorite Decepticon is Motormaster.
Live action movie 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5?
Hard pass.
Megan Fox, Rosie Huntington-Wheatley, Nicola Peltz, or Laura Haddock?
Hard pass.
All right. This one I think we would know. More Than Meets the Eye / Lost Light, Robots in Disguise / Optimus Prime, or Till All Are One?
All More Than Meets the Eye / Lost Light.
All right. Third-party toys, yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Cats or dogs?
Neither.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Chicken or steak?
Chicken.
Pepsi or Coke?
Neither.
Burger King or McDonald's?
Neither.
History or science?
Both.
Xbox, PlayStation, or Switch?
PlayStation. All
right. Call of Duty or Battlefield?
Battlefront.
All right. PC or Mac? Game.
Mac.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
What iPhone app can you not live without?
Scrivener, which is what I use to write all my comics.
All right. Marvel or DC?
Milestone.
All right. Well, who's your favorite Milestone character?
Icon.
All right. Stallone or Schwarzenegger?
Deep pull. I like that.
I'm ready. What was the question?
Stallone or Schwarzenegger?
Michael B. Jordan is young Creed.
All right. Zoe Saldana, Scarlett Johansson, or Maggie Q?
I'm going to go Tessa Thompson.
All right. We haven't updated these in a while, so there probably should be some additions to these names. Twilight or Hunger Games?
Neither.
Pixar or DreamWorks?
Pixar.
All right. Star Wars or Star Trek?
All Star Wars.
Simpsons, Family Guy, or Rick and Morty?
Simpsons.
Walking Dead or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
NFL, MLB, NHL, UFC, or NBA?
NBA.
Porsche, Ferrari, Lamborghini, or Volkswagen Beetle?
Lamborghini.
Blonde, brunette, or redhead?
Dreadlocks.
All right. Well, that was it.
I didn't fall down and throw up. Yay.
Yeah, that's a very scientific test to help our audience kind of know know our guests better.
Yeah, I very much believe in the Kobayashi Maru on most things. I'm like, yeah, those are the choices. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. And the Milestone thing, isn't DC bringing them back?
Well, there's a lot of stuff happening. And, well, yeah, I'll be happy to see it if it comes, and I'll understand if it doesn't.
Yeah. I know the ownership stuff is all a tangle of lawyers.
I know people on both sides of the argument, so I'm desperately avoiding having any conversations about that.
All right. Cool. Well, War Comics is definitely good, so we'll just cross our fingers. All right, Charles, back to you.
All right. Again, we're going to thank our Donatrions, our newest Donatrions this week. You guys are awesome. You guys, we mentioned it in the toy show, but again, we'll mention it here. Jason, a new Jason, has joined the party. Thank you. Pandatron coming in with the big duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions podcast donation. And good friend of the show, Jason Kirk, upped his pledge all the way up to another duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions podcast. So great job, guys. Top marks all around. Good luck on the five-year mega contest that we will be drawing for in just a couple of weeks. So in episode 290, out on August 15th, that's when we should be announcing the winner of that contest.
The winners. That will
be also, winners. Yes, winners. That's right. That will also be our fifth anniversary show. So look forward to that. All right. So let's get into some comics news. All right. First off, I want to give a shout out to a friend of the show, Robots with Coffee. They are putting out a coloring book on Kickstarter. So Paul, we run into him several times at different TF cons. I also met him at BotCon. He's a great guy. He does lots of funny comics. They're not affiliated with Transformers, but they do have Transformers likenesses. And, he's having some fun, and he's setting up a Kickstarter to get this, this off the ground. He may have already sent me a sample, copy of this book. So thank you, Paul, for doing that. And, I think it's a neat idea. So you can check out the Kickstarter page. He's only looking for, $1,200, to get this published, and he's already at 360, so he's already a quarter of the way there. So support Robots with Coffee.
Yeah, he's really cool and really funny little comics.
Yeah, so we'll have a link in the show notes. You can check that out. And it's got a month, so you've got plenty of time, but sooner rather than later. All right, next up, another our podcast friends from across the pond, Moonbase 2. They did an interview with John Barber, and Mikey conducted that interview. One of the hosts on Moonbase 2, and it's a good interview. John goes into lots of different topics, talks all about his run on the IDW Transformers universe, and the lead up to the end with Unicron. So, it's a good listen. Next, we have solicitations for October 2018. This is the month where everything is coming to a close. This will be the end of the IDW Transformers continuity. So these are the last issues published in this continuity, ending 13 years of stories.
Assuming there are no shipping delays.
So, yeah, so we've got, there's no surprises on this list. We've got Lost Light 25, Unicron number 6, and Optimus Prime 25. Apparently, that's the order they're going to come out, crossing your fingers, apparently a week after each other. Like, each one will be a successive week. We'll see if that actually happens, but that is apparently the order. So Lost Light 25 first, Unicron number 6 second, and Optimus Prime 25 third. And that will shut the door, turn off the lights of the Transformers IDW universe.
Does that also mean it's going to shut the door on the Hasbroverse? Because if that was my understanding. So that shuts the door on Visionaries and ROM and all that too.
I believe so.
Yes, that is right. the Hasbroverse is really the Transformers universe, just with the Hasbro guys thrown in at the 11th hour. But it's really all about the Transformers. But, you know, IDW still has the license for all the Hasbro characters. So who knows what they're going to do next year when they I'm sure they're going to reboot Transformers. I don't know what they're going to do with all the other properties, if they're going to keep them all in the same universe or do something completely
Jim
different.
Jim versus Visionaries.
Speaking of crossovers, we do have a new crossover that's starting up. It started in September. It's going to continue in October. It's Star Trek versus Transformers. This is the animated Star Trek series and set from the 70s versus the 84 G1 cartoon Transformers. So that looks fun. We'll see. We haven't seen the first issue yet, but the art style looks fun. So we'll see. We've also got a couple of we've got a trade paperback, Optimus Prime Volume 4. That's actually coming in November. So it's in the October solicits, but that's coming till November. And that collects Optimus Prime 15 to 21. And I assume there will be another trade paperback after that to finish off the series. And then we also have the Transformers IDW Collection Phase 2 Hardcover Volume 8. And that's actually coming out in December. And that's going to collect More Than Meets the Eye 35 to 40, Robots in Disguise 35 to 38, Transformers Punishment One Shot, Drift Empire of Stone miniseries. So if you're collecting all the IDW hardcovers, that's the next one you can get. So that's all the comics news, and I will pass it over to Jeremy for our comic review this week.
Transmissions wouldn't be what it is today without the awesome support of our listeners. If you'd like to support our shows and enjoy the exclusive benefits that our donors get, please visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. All right, and we are looking at Lost Light number 21. This was written by James Roberts. Art is by Jack Lawrence. Colors by Joanna LaFuente. Letters by Tom B. Long, editor David Marriott, and publisher is Greg Goldstein. We have three covers this week. Cover A is by Jack Lawrence and Joanna LaFuente. And I described this as our heroes with a not quite dull surprise. If you read the Dreamwave comics, you would get that. Cover B is by Jeff Sr. and Josh Burcham. And it is the Lost Light Generation 2, essentially. And the retailer incentive is just the black and white version of cover A. So we'll start with Hannibal. We usually pick which one of these is our preferred cover. So like out of the three, which one was your favorite?
I believe what's called the standard A cover is my favorite because the look of shock on everybody's face is something that mm-hmm. I think everybody is feeling as they read these comics and to see that yeah. reflected in the characters. I keep referring back to it. Like, and I keep imagining the thoughts going on in their heads as they're like, oh my God, another crazy thing just happened. Oh, wait, what? And there's so yeah. much happening that, but it's not like the stuff is rushed. It's not like, it's like these are seeds that were planted 20, 40, 60 issues back. And to see them all bearing fruit yeah. is enormously rewarding.
Yeah, cool. Yoshi, which one do you like?
You know, I'm not liking any of them. And if I were buying this, I would get the Jeff Sr. Cover just because I'd like to see him do more work.
Yep. Cool. Daryl.
I picked the Jeff Sr. one. That's the one that I ended up buying first. And then went back the next day and picked up the other one, but they're both okay. But I think the Jeff Sr. one is just I think I like it better.
All right, cool. And Charles,
yeah, Jeff Sr. for me, he is my favorite Marvel Transformers comics artist, and I love seeing new stuff from him. So I'm happy to see this. Unfortunately, my shop didn't get it, so I'll probably have to pick this up somewhere else if I want to get this this cover, because Jeff Sr., I just love his style from way back in Marvel, and just seeing his new stuff now always gets me excited.
Cool. For me, I think I would go with cover C. I mean, nothing against the colors in cover A. I just am a sucker for the black and white, you know, just the line art. And I don't know, it kind of does something to the look of Jacques in that image. So on to the summary of the book. This is titled Crucible Part 3, Far Sickness. And on Madiri, Swerve is aghast, looking at the rift in space above them. Velocity tries to shake him out of his shock by noting that a rift is on his checklist, but they need to get out of there now. From the Lost Light, all the bots that are recovering from being Spark Eaters have been loaded aboard. Perceptor tries to get out an apology in his weakened state, but Rodimus says all is forgiven. In Ward Zero, Ratchet is unsure if the telepaths can survive outside the ward when Rewind suddenly notices a spear that hadn't been there moments ago. Before he can touch it, he's grabbed by Rung, who warns him that it's a geobomb. Finally, everyone supports the Lost Light, and they're making their escape when they stop and are being forcibly pulled into the rift. Elsewhere, there's a fleet of world sweepers, and above the aboard the flagship, Flame is working on the Grand Architect's body. Scorponok radios to let him know that the geobomb is about to detonate. Tyresta is scanning the area for activity because they're waiting for someone to show up, but they're glad that he hasn't because they're not quite ready yet. Popping through the rift, the crew of the Lost Light see five Cybertrons before them. The computer says that they're in the benzene cluster, but it looks like it's been cleansed of the planets that should be there. The rift has killed the engines on the Lost Light, and the ship crashes onto one of the Cybertrons. Cyclonus recognizes it as an ancient Cybertron, while Anode and Swerve both see that the metal of the ground is new. They don't get time to work this out anymore because a fleet of Black Bloc Consortia ships arrive, with the Grand Architect's flagship behind them. He's about to order the Black Bloc Consortia to kill the Autobots when Nautica pronounces the Knights of Cybertron symbol that the Architect has also used as his symbol. That causes the Architect to pause, and he tells Rodimus to choose a delegation to come aboard and talk. Suddenly, the Magnificent just says, "Rodimus, Rung, Ratchet, Tailgate." But Rodimus is upset. He wants all of his people or none of them. Then, in a single panel, he sums up the entire history of his crew's accomplishments. On board the flagship, Scorponok is done with the Architect stalling. Just kill them all now and be done with it. But Tyrest tries to calm him down, saying that they're both there for the greater good, but Scorponok is sick of not getting the full story. He contacts Sunder, who's been working with them, and tells him to proceed with a plan that they have to get into the Architect's head. Landing in an empty docking bay, Rodimus finally gets around to asking Nicol about the replica Magnificence that she's been wearing. She corrects him and says that it's the actual Magnificence, but it's not talking. But Whirl comes up, thinking that it's called his name, and when he touches it, he transforms into a stick with a... Looking outside, Anode notices that Madiri just came through the rift when Freud and Sunder come in. Sunder apparently got kicked out of the Architect's head, and now he can't do any NEMA surgery. All he can say is that the Architect has been preparing for an enemy that threatens all life in the universe. He built Necroworld as a mold to make these five Cybertrons and used a Warren to bring them here. Apparently, Cybertron had the capability to be used as a weapon, but the Civil War ruined the planet so bad that it wasn't possible with a real Cybertron. Now, with these five Cybertrons, he plans to amplify the blast and, quote, drill a hole in the universe, which has just started, and it's creating a portal in space. Scorponok calls the Architect, who's recovering from his attack, and tries to get him to focus on the blast from the planets. There's no sign of his guest, and maybe his vision is wrong. But the Architect says it wasn't a vision. He visited the future and then was put here millions of years in the past. He's been trying to lure this monster here so he can put him in a parallel universe. Tyrest is detecting energy from the other side of the portal, and Scorponok realizes that by trying to change the future, he's made it happen. The monster was already in the next universe, and now he's got to come through the portal to this one. And suddenly the door behind Scorponok opens, and he's sliced in two vertically by the Grand Architect, otherwise known as Pharma. Looking through a window at the rift, the Autobots see a fleet come through, led by the Lost Light. Suddenly, Ultra Magnus and Rodimus both get a call simultaneously. Who'd call both of them at the same time? Well, of course, it's Megatron, who's conveniently covering his faction symbol. And that is Lost Light 21. I thought this was... It was extremely low on action, so we know Daryl's going to hate it, but... I enjoyed the book just for all the pieces that are coming together from even the early More Than Meets the Eye stuff, and bringing back Pharma, the symbol thing that Skids talked about, we finally get Rung transforming, even little details like, hey, Swerve is a geologist and he actually used those skills. That was great. I thought the art was pretty good. Jack Lawrence is kind of hitting his groove as the series is ending, and that's kind of sad, but you know, I thought the art was pretty good, and you know, the colors as always were excellent. Hannibal, you put this on your buy pile. Obviously, you know, you thought it was a great book, but what can you say about it that you really like?
What I can say about that I really like, again, is the fact that the relationships are still the strongest point. That when there's five Cybertrons circling and the end of the universe that we all know is coming from solicitations, that Bankatron doesn't call back to Optimus. He doesn't call back to Starscream. He doesn't reach out for Shockwave or even Soundwave, who is so loyal to him. He reaches out for these two because that's where his relationships are right now. Those are the people that he has the most immediate need of. And moreover, the idea that he just flew in with a fleet that big, that he literally must have taken over an entire other Cybertron and ran the table over the Functionist there, which, you know, is kind of mind-boggling to think that, okay, this guy really could have, he really could have done virtually anything. There are so many character threads that play through here, and while that does take away from some of the action that you might want, this is not the most action-oriented book. I mean, it's had a mystery, it's had a horror segment, it's gone all over the map in that regard, to its benefit, I believe, not to its detriment. And seeing that here, again, as these characters start to try to figure things out, and Pharma pops up and is like, oh, this guy? Really? This guy? And with Scorponok and Tyrest, who I really thought was a wrap already with his, you know, self-mutilation issue, there's so many layers to each character, and each character is on their own journey that may not be congruent with or agree with the journeys of even the people they're closest to. And watching that play out is fascinating. It's really deeply involved. And honestly, as a writer, I would be very interested in seeing the process behind it. What kind of outline does he do? Like Paul Levitz used to have big, you know, boards with index cards, or does he do something more digital? I'd be fascinated to know how he keeps track of all this, because it's a lot to remember, and it's really well done.
Yeah, I would like to think that he has a cork board with like index cards and strings and stuff. In my mind, that's how it's done.
Really, it's sunny always. It's always sunny in Philadelphia, like that.
Yeah. Charles, how about you? What'd you think of this book?
Yeah, this was a really good one. I just liked it. It kind of it's like you know, like one of those Mad Magazine fold-ins where when you fold it in and everything comes together. It's just you know, I know no one will believe me, but when I read through this book, just getting through the first few pages, like when I saw the thing that said when the Grand Architect said, Tyrest, I only keep you on for the irony. And then I saw the five Cybertrons, and I thought back to the Remain in Light, the More Than Meets the Eye season one finale. I thought, is this where we're finally going to see what happened to Pharma? And so that triggered in my mind before I got to that page. So I felt a little thrill that I at least that all those clues had been in place, so that if you were paying attention, it would, you know, you could kind of figure it out. But then you get the second twist, and that I didn't see coming. So it's like you put not just one, but two kind of major shocks in this book. With Megatron returning with an army, he's got his fusion cannon back on, so I think he's kind of abandoned his pacifism ways at this point. On the other hand, I really don't want to see him have another heel turn. I would like to see, you know, at least when we get to the end, that Megatron hasn't just reverted back to being the big bad again. I think. The journey he went on in this book was really special. So I'm just hoping that there's another twist coming or another shoe to drop that we're not going to see just Megatron returning to conquer again.
I'm hoping that this is the the Megatron that would have been if the Decepticons hadn't gone down the violent path that they went in the main universe. You know, he got a do-over in the Functionist universe, and I would like to see that this is what would have happened to him. You know, so he is still, quote, the good Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
But I also like how... Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I was going to say it's interesting you note that because of what Windblade showed Starscream about the fact that he was the way he was forged. She showed him the Starscream he was supposed to be, not the made-to-order warrior that he actually turned out to be. So if there's a different path for all these Transformers, it is interesting to see it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I also like how they led you to believe that they're talking about Unicron the entire time.
Yeah.
Without saying Unicron.
Yep. And I did like how the Magnificent's calling out those four names. So you know who's going to be important in the next couple issues. So you got Rodimus, Rung, Tailgate, and Ratchet. So look for those four guys. Those four guys are important. And I also like how, so I think with the Functionist universe, the implication, at least, you know, when from the previous stories, is that the difference in the Functionist universe is basically Megatron. Like in the Functionist universe, Megatron never came online. That's when, you know, back in Elegant Chaos, when Rewind basically kills Megatron, that universe is what happened if Whirl hadn't replaced his spark and you've gotten Megatron there. So that in that universe, the Lost Light ship was actually created before Megatron was created. So that's how you can get a duplicate Lost Light in that universe. Megatron probably just went and found that universe's version of the Lost Light to get as his flagship. So it's a nice symmetry there. So I'm really excited for the next issue now.
Yoshi, we'll save Daryl for last. Yoshi, what'd you think of this?
You know, fuck it. I'm not even going to hide it. Look, it's a technically well-written story. I have nothing wrong with the ABC flow of things. I'm not shocked by Pharma, and I'm certainly not shocked by Megatron. We all knew this was going to happen at some point. They were coming back. They were not gone forever. I think the reveals of Megatron or the reveal of Megatron could have been done a little more like we knew you knew. So here it is, rather than a shocker. It doesn't surprise me. Now, with that said, on the writing end, I have to completely disagree with you on the art. I remember when this book was drawn by a legitimate artist and it was fun to look at. It's not. There have been one or two issues that Jack Lawrence has done where I've been like, okay, I don't know if he had more time or what, but everything looked really good. But this issue from start to finish looked like fan art to me. It didn't look polished. And I know I have nothing but unpopular opinions when it comes to this series, but that's just how I feel.
Okay.
I mean, it's okay to not like the art, but I think you should still call him a legitimate artist. He's a professional artist. So yeah,
technically he is. You're absolutely right. He definitely can draw a hell of a lot better than I'll ever be able to draw. I will tip my hat to them. But to come down so far art-wise where the book used to be is shameful. Absolutely shameful. With no legitimate reason, it is absolutely shameful.
All right. Daryl.
Yeah.
I know you love this book, right?
No, I did not.
Not enough fighty-fighty.
There was no fighty-fighty. This was a story for you guys. The whole series has been a story for you guys. I was impressed with the look of the fleet of Decepticon-shaped ships, the insignia ships. There's, you know, all that stuff is going to lead to a big battle at some point, hopefully. The story that has this whole thing has been telling, I don't care anymore about it. It's this book lost me within the first six issues or so. And I've just been watching and reading. I mean, I buy the books because I like to support the genre. Yeah. I can't take the story beats. You know, Charles and I talked about it once about how he reads the books multiple times because he likes to commit it to long-term memory. I don't have the time to read these books multiple times, nor do I care to read them to multiple times. These books are very dense, and either I'm not smart enough to get it, or I just don't find it interesting. But there's too much going on in these books for me to understand or get what the hell is supposed to be happening. They, at the beginning of the series, they introduced Lug and Anode. What the hell are they doing now? Where's Lug even? I mean, he's gone, or she's gone. I don't even remember what the hell gender they are now, but Anode's here.
She's probably Anode's backpack.
Well, she's there in several scenes in the book, actually. She's there, the scene where she says, "Hey, Rodimus." Lug says, "Hey, Rodimus, check this out. I think Madiri's followed us through the rift." On that page, that Lug is standing right next to Rodimus in that.
All right. Page.
That does say something, though, about the character. Right.
These characters were brought in at the beginning of the series to be, you know, the big characters that, you know, we're going to introduce two new characters, and they are now throwaway characters. They are extras almost. They're given one line here or there. I'm expecting that there'll be something for them to do at some point within the last four issues. If they aren't, I will be really upset, because then the entire purpose of these characters will be for them to be revealed as transgender, and that's it. You know, other than that, there was no point to bring them into the series. The story beat is fine. I mean, it was well written. He brings up, like, the series has been going on for what, 4 years, 5 years, maybe now,
six years.
He's bringing up stuff from 6 years ago. I can't remember parts of stories from 6 years ago. It's ridiculous. I mean, I guess you guys can, because you read the books so often. I read them once, I put them down, and I move on. I was talking with Jeremy before the show. I have 4 months of back reading to get through. I know Hannibal, you read a lot of comics, but that's your job. You have that as a job. You get paid to do it. I do it as a hobby. Right. I read one book a night, and I can't get through these books fast enough. So I don't have time to go back and read them. But I'm looking forward to the end of the series, because I'm getting sick of the dense storytelling.
Let me ask you something then, because if you look at this from not the lens of somebody who a Wednesday warrior, as it were, but from a more literary standpoint, that you're not coming to this from somebody who's picking up the book once a month, but somebody who 15 years down the line binge reads the whole thing. Do you think that might have a slightly different perspective? Because the same way that we look at, say, for instance, Christopher Marlowe or Shakespeare, this differently than people do.
This book needs to be read in large quantities, right? A dense book needs to be read in larger chunks, because it is so detailed, right? If I can get through issues 20 to 30 in a sitting, then that stuff's gonna, you know, stuff that's referenced in 20, or, you know, in issue 30 that's referenced back in 20, that's gonna stick with you, because you're still reading that same book at the time, right? If I'm sitting here reading on issue 21, something that was mentioned, when the hell was Pharma in last? Holy shit.
Yeah, right? Early in Lost Light.
Way more than back.
Meets the eye, 21 so, is when he yeah. was...
Fuck your memory.
Yeah. So what the hell? Like, you know, I'm not upset at myself for not being able to remember all this. I know I don't have a genius level brain like you or Hannibal to remember this kind of stuff. But I'm kind of pissed that, you know, these books are now written above my comprehension. I wanted a Transformers book that they fight. I want some, you know, a war, right? That's why I got into these robots in the first place. They were fighting factions. They fought back and forth, and they don't do that anymore. They struggle with drama and fucking stupid bullshit. You know, I just want to see, you know, fights, maybe some character interaction, some transforming every now and then. Yeah, this book has been one of my least favorites over the past little while. More Than Meets the Eye was good. We talked last time when we reviewed 20, but More Than Meets the Eye had some really, really good stuff in it, but it slipped. It has slipped a lot in my eyes. The art, on the other hand, I'm fine with the art in this book. Jack Lawrence has come into his own stride. I don't know why Yoshi's so hard on it for this particular issue. There has been many issues where it's been much, much worse. This issue is perfectly fine, but it's definitely not fan art. It's quite good.
He's got his own style now that,
yeah,
I think he's developed.
But you know, if you want to talk about the books in general, there's something to be said for asking somebody to read a Transformers book and saying you should read Lost Light or More Than Meets the Eye. It's really good. Sure, it's good, but unless you're going to spend the time and actually read it three or four times to get the, you know, to get the everything and commit it all to long term memory, this book is way above most people's reading comprehension.
So, I mean, at least I think it appeals to different types of readers. I mean, I think there are, I mean, there are a lot of comics. I mean, a lot of the, if you look at the, you know, the longer term comics, like, you know, Marvel and DC have put out with their superhero comics that, you know, span years, generations. I mean, they will have stories that will refer back to stories from years ago. I mean, I think that's that first, at least for, you know, my perspective is at least what I want from a comic is a comic that is going to have, like, if I have a comic that has going to reveal different story beats and plot elements and set up mysteries that maybe that energize me to try and figure out what's coming and things like that. I think that I appreciate that if you're going to reference something that happened in the story, you know, several years ago. And, you know, I think that is, that does penalize the reader who is not paying as much close attention, but I do like that kind of storytelling. But I do agree that there needs to be a balance. Like, I think the big difference between Lost Light and More Than Meets the Eye is that I think Lost Light is not quite as balanced between that, you know, that kind of quick hit action and, you know, fast paced movement, plus having the long form elements that are, you know, the long term mysteries and seeding different plot points and things like that. I think More Than Meets the Eye did a better job of balancing those two types of stories and plot points. And Lost Light has skewed a little bit further on relying on all those long term elements and just focusing on that and has limited the action that that used to be in the comics. So I do agree that it's a little bit out of balance, but for me it's still something that I enjoy. So I'm still looking forward to each issue. And now that we're in the end game, where it is, I mean, this is where I expect a lot, like all those lost plot points to be pulled together. I mean, these last three issues that are coming up, or four issues that are coming up, I expect everything to be thrown at me, and that's what I'm here for. So, but yeah, I mean, I do think this, you know, this is not going to appeal to everyone here, and yeah, so that's clear on this podcast.
You need to recognize that you may be in the minority.
Oh, I'm sure I'm in the minority. Right? Judging by the sales numbers for the comic, I'm sure I'm in the minority. But
exactly, you know, nobody's buying the book. They can't keep up.
If I may, the one thing that I look at this book, because I look at it as a long form story, I don't look at it as just Lost Light. I look at it as a continuation of the work that was done in More Than Meets the Eye, and that the fact that they renamed it was just some marketing stuff. I look back to Fables. When Bill Willingham had his Vertigo run, that he was essentially telling one really, really, really long story that spanned more than 150 issues. And he got to tell that story uninterrupted, that spun off into Jack of Fables, spun off into other places, but ultimately was one core thing. Now, that is a different literary standard than, say, you know, oh, Superman's fighting Lex Luthor again this month or whatever. And as you say, that's not necessarily for every audience. No book should be. There is no book that is so universally loved that literally everybody and their mom has to have it and everybody and their mom will love it. That's, you know, the nature of entertainment in general. But towards that end, with this, I believe this leans more towards the latter, more towards I'm not making the kind of confectionery throwaway stuff that you'll see in Moon Knight or that you'll see in what's the book that I forget about, or Suicide Squad or whatever, that you will see something that when, if people come back and say, I need to sit down with this, in the same way people go back and binge watch Breaking Bad, in the same way that people go back and binge watch The Shield, that they'll be able to say, wow, I can really appreciate the craft here. I can really appreciate the planning that went into this. I can really appreciate the craft that's applied, which I can't, there's a lot of more quote unquote mainstream books that sell significantly better that frankly aren't as good. They frankly are not as good. They're not as well written. They're not as well planned. They're not as well plotted. And despite their sales, sales doesn't indicate quality. Britney Spears taught us that. We have to look at things in different things, in different ways for different audiences and different purposes.
I think Daryl and I are on the same side, but we're not there through the same reasons. You got to take into account the medium which this is being written for. You know, I'm going into my comic book store. I'm spending $4 on an issue. I'm going home and reading it. And for the most part, I don't feel like the book I read was concluded. I feel like it's completely written for the trade. And there's nothing wrong with that. But write the trade. Don't write a comic book.
I think that's fair.
I mean, You're absolutely right. This is great writing. I don't dispute that one bit. But it's just, for me, you got two things going against it. I'm spending $4 and I don't feel a conclusion at the end of the last page. And B, it's written for the trade. And C, it, you know, beating a dead horse, it's not my Transformers. You know, I love rereading the old Transformers series. But the thing about that is I can lean over, grab any issue, read it, and feel satisfied. Whereas I can't say the same with anything IDW has put out.
I'm curious. Did you read Watchmen? Because when I think of books like this, I think of Watchmen. I think of V from Vendetta. I think of some of the things From Hell, Dark Knight.
You're talking about a story that's written for the trade. Now, by the time I read...
They were not written for the trade. Those were periodical stories. Those were put out every month on purpose. They were collected, ultimately, but they were not written for the trade.
You know, my experience with Watchmen was I sat down and I read it after the fact as a trade. And it was a labor to get through. But man, those last 12 pages made it a labor of love. You know, I'll never know what it's like to read Watchmen and having to wait for each issue to come out. I can only tell you from the trade experience. And man, it was an effort, and I loved the last 12 pages. It made me love the whole book. And it's, you know, from my perspective, it was a series written for the trade. Maybe before that concept was really well known, but that's what it was for me. And that's how I feel these books are. I just don't think when I go back and read them as a trade, I'm going to love them anymore.
Well, I mean, I would dispute that at least the More Than Meets the Eye series, I feel like, did give you a satisfying issue every issue. That's where I think the balance, like, I think the Lost Light balance is a little bit off and focusing on the long form rather than the individual comic. But I think those More Than Meets the Eye issues, I would hold those up as good single issue. I mean, for the most part, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go through each issue.
There, unfortunately, but we have it on tape where there are times where we have reviewed an issue that felt like it was, you know, I mean, every once in a while, the sun shines on a dog's ass, Charles. You have a complete story in a $4 book. And I voiced those.
I'm not saying every once in a while. I'm saying the majority of More Than Meets the Eye, at least for me, maybe not for you, but for me, the majority of those More Than Meets the Eye issues are satisfying. Okay. So it's shining on that dog's ass almost every day.
For you.
Every reader for is me. Different.
Not for no. you.
It, you know, I've got a mouth and I've got anger behind my voice. I know that. And I truly know the amount of effort and sweat and blood and tears and family time sacrifice that goes into creating a piece of art like this. And I, it don't get me wrong. It guts me when we're doing this, because I know that. But at the end of the day, if you want, you're doing everything wrong if you want my money. But, you know, these books aren't written for me. They're written for Charles. They're written for Hannibal. Love you guys.
I think that's a good place to end the discussion and move on.
And that is the comic review. So let's move on to media news.
All right. In media news this week, we've got Transformers Robots in Disguise Combiner Force DVD in Australia has started showing up. It's called Combine and Conquer. This is the third season of the show and should be released on October 3rd. Also, we've got news that Bumblebee the movie is not going to be released in Japan in December like it is everywhere else. It's going to be released in the spring of 2019, between March and May. Let's go with April. But yeah, it's delayed, maybe due to translation or something like that. But yeah, during the Golden Week. But yeah, so it's a little bit of a delay there. So any Japanese listeners, probably not. Look for it in April-ish. And lastly, Transformers Cyberverse is going to air on Cartoon Network. It's looking to be available on in the fall of this year, 2018. Yeah, we saw a clip of it. We showed it last week. Had it in the toy show notes, the alt mode notes from SDCC. Had a clip from Cyberverse. It looks to be pretty fun. And look for it on Cartoon Network this fall.
In horrible time slots.
No time slot is said, but yes, probably. And that's it for media news.
All right, let's move on to some convention news.
Only one thing this week in convention news. TFCon has announced that Ian James Corlett, the voice of Cheetor in Beast Wars, is going to be attending TFCon Chicago 2018. He's going to be joining Bud Davis, who was G1 Dirge, Metroplex, and Predaking, Stephen Keener, who is the voice of G1 Fortress Maximus, Hardhead, Hunger, Mindwipe, Scattershot, and Scorponok. More will be announced, I'm sure. Looking forward to that, and I am more excited about TFCon Chicago by the day, so I hope to see everyone there. And that is it for convention news.
All right, let's finish up the show with some feedback.
If you would like to leave us feedback on Transmissions, please visit us at transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. There you can hit us up on every imaginable social media platform where we will answer you and feature your question here on the Transmissions Podcast. You can also leave us a voicemail, which we would love because I suck at reading because I was publicly educated. So we're going to go to Facebook first, where Brian Dibble writes, alt mode question, guys. Do you think the end of the IDW universe will feature Old Man Ironhide, the G2 bot, and Alpha Trion telling the story we just read over 13 years? As shown in Transformers 31, given Alpha Trion being dead could be a problem on this idea. What do you think, Charles? You're the know-it-all expert.
I'm going to guess no, because John Barber basically retconned this future away when Dark Cybertron came out a few years ago. That crossover pretty much kind of invalidated this future vision.
Uh-huh.
And Alpha Trion's dead, so that also kind of invalidates this.
And that story took place on Gorlam Prime, which Unicron just ate.
Yeah, that too. But this is John Barber we're talking about. He is known to tie continuity into knots and into pretzels. So I wouldn't discount it completely out, but I'm rating this at 99.9% not going to happen.
All right.
Unless it happens in the Functionist universe.
Yeah, that's true.
Based on Charles's confidence, Brian, if you're right, we'll send you a Pez dispenser. We're going to move on to email now, where money giver and all-around great guy Paul Calicote writes, "Hey, guys, thought this was fucking awesome. Maybe a pop culture topic." He links to a musical parody of John Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory with the lyrics of Transformers Prime Megatron. I haven't had a chance to listen to this yet, guys. Have you?
I don't care.
Yes,
for it.
it's interesting. I think Jeremy has a clip ready.
All right. I'll play a little bit of it.
Long 80s rock intro.
It's a poorly mixed drum set.
When I wake up in the morning and I raise my weary head, a dead rock lord for a pillow, Primus's corpse for last night's bed. I don't know where I'm going, only Primus knows where I've been. I'm the buck with the gun, a silver-tongued devil, a weather champion.
Like,
hey!
Does one decide to mix these two genres together?
I don't know. We'll have a link to the full thing.
So this is from the Optimus Prime cast. So they are another Transformers podcast. I think they're focused on reviewing Transformers animated cartoons, each cartoon in order, and I think they're branching out to like Beast Wars and G1 cartoons too.
So. I like that. We need more stuff like that in the podcast verse. Thanks, Paul, because I certainly wouldn't have seen it if you didn't point it out. Appreciate it. Next, we go to money giver Augustine. Who writes, "Dear Transmissions Podcast, I enjoy your excellent declassified program about the Transformers vinyl records. I think the music for the Transformers and G.I. Joe 80s cartoons was great and a unique phenomenon of its time. I had been looking for the soundtrack on the internet for some time when I read about the upcoming vinyl record editions. Unfortunately, I missed out on the purchase of a record when they came out. I'm aware of the new batch coming up, but to be honest with you, that is not what I'm looking for. I want a digital copy that I can listen to on my phone and that I can play for my children in the car. I know this might sound blasphemous in some fine collector ears, but I don't have plans on getting into record collecting. I want it for the music. What should I do?" It's a great question.
I already replied to him. So do you want me to say what I said?
Yeah, let's hear what you said.
All right. I doubt there's going to be an official release. From everything we've heard about these records, they were a physical exclusive item, which is unfortunate because they are great. But there's a fan project that has recently completed, like as of like last December, that they took all of the sources that they could find and they created the soundtrack. Like they pieced it back together and you can get it at tfcog.com and you can just download it. They have it in WAV and MP3 formats. It has much more than what you get on the record and, you know, stuff from all four seasons of the G1 show. And it is really good. And when I want a digital version of the soundtrack to listen to, that's what I go to.
So let's be very clear. What you're referencing is perfectly legal.
No.
And it is digitally fixed audio.
It's in the legally gray area where, well, it's probably illegal, but the fans piece this together. They have, you know, digitally removed things like characters, you know, walking sounds, laser blasts, what, you know, they have cleaned up the audio to the best that they could and just released it for free download.
And the actual vinyl was taken from the masters.
Right.
Without the sound effects that were added later.
Right.
Okay. So that's your quasi-legal answer there, Paul.
Augustine.
Paul's listening. I'm sure he's listening.
He might be interested too.
Yeah. God, Charles, don't pick on people. Yes, Augusta, that's the gray legally acceptable area of downloading the music. I feel for you. I know people have record players with USB ports that rip this for themselves to do what you're doing. But man, that's a big investment for somebody who doesn't want the vinyl, period. I wish you luck in your endeavors, sir. And I thank you wholeheartedly for your email. Thanks for writing in. Thank you for your money. That's very important to me. I prefer money. And it's nice to look at the piles of it we have.
I think
we don't have a money bin, Yoshi. Yeah. I don't know what piles of money you're looking at. The Patreon's not doing that well.
I may be influenced in my speech here from watching a recent episode of DuckTales. I'm not going to confirm or deny that. What I will say is I like money, and that's it for feedback this week, Charles.
Wow.
All right. Well, this is not the DuckTales reviews, but we are. I'm gonna say I'm a fan of both the new and the old show, but anyway, not important. We're gonna leave it right there. That's the end of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, want to thank our guests, Hannibal Taboo. Thank you for coming on and joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
Hope you had fun despite all the technical issues we faced. We enjoyed having you on.
Happy to be here.
And would you thank your wife for us for letting us borrow you?
I will have to very profusely, yes, sir.
So let's wrap up. If you could tell everyone again all the places they can find you and a couple of your projects that are coming up before we say goodbye.
You can find me on social media at Hannibal Taboo. That's on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram. And you'll see Timecore number 12, which I believe will hit digital subscription services this fall. Every week you can find on operative.net Project Wildfire Street Justice, which is a free webcomic. At least it's free until we're done, then we're going to take it down and sell it to you. That's the way we do. Yeah, you can still find Scoundrel and Irrational Numbers, two miniseries I did for Wonderman Comics, available digitally at all fine retailers.
Awesome. All right, thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Later.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Blah, 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 blah. Right. Blah, 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 blah.
Good, good, good. Okay.
My cable modem died. And
Jeremy, can you talk? Down. Are you on now?
Can you not hear me now? I am here.
You're on mute. Hello. If you're saying something.
I'm not on mute.
Again, I think we have to look at Obama here as a fault. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I personally like the lack of effort that's required to blame one person for everything.